Hallelujah, Lord. You are so good, God. You are worthy of all of our praises, Lord God. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Holy are you, Jesus. No one greater than you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, for your faithfulness, God. You are worthy of it all. Let's give it a round of applause for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You guys may be seated. Thank y'all. It's good to be here with all of you guys. It's always a true honor to be able to give him the privilege to speak for a few moments. Thank you, Pastor. Pastor Isaac, Brother Kate. This is a last minute thing, but I was like, hey, if there's anyone that's kind of always has something to say, I always seem like, hey, I'm pretty good at talking. Oh, amen. Amen. Well, let's jump right into it. I was telling Pastor, I was like, hey, Pastor, I'm trying to get these notes down real quick because, man, this is a topic I can go on. So I'm going to try to keep it brief. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Lately, the topic of being bold in the faith has been, like, heavy on me lately. As we've been seeing on the news, all these crazy things against Christians and even Americans, right? Definitely a lot about the Islam religion. And not even only that, but also we live in a world of many different beliefs, and we must preach the truth. We must have boldness with our faith. We must not be scared to say, hey, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. He was resurrected the third day. He's coming back again. And he's going to come back not as a lamb, but as a lion, right? But one thing, I'll be honest with y'all, I'm like, hey, joke son, love first. You got to, hey, my brothers and my sister always told me, they're like, hey, dude, well, you know, you also got to know how to, like, hey, come off, like, nice. And, you know, I'm like, true. You got a point. I'll admit that. Now, in the Lord Jesus tells Matthew 28:18, you know, he tells, hey, go to all nations, make disciples. It's a commandment. It's not a, oh, do you feel like it? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'm qualified. You know, I'm not a pastor. I'm not a licensed minister. I'm not the most extrovert person. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. We must proclaim our faith. Now, you can start by doing a little bit. What about at work, at school, some of the grocery store, you know? Quick little 2-second word. I'm not saying you have to, you know, stand up on the chair and be like, hey, preach, like, you know, I don't know, them street preachers, right? Which, hey, props to them. That takes a lot. That takes a lot. I'll give it to them. So, but even if we find ourselves like, man, like, I feel like, oh, that's kind of uncomfortable, how to just be super bold like that. We look at a perfect example of Peter and John in Acts 4:29 after they were arrested for preaching Jesus, right? After they had a miracle was done through them to the lame man out of the sitting outside the temple. They said, hey, you know, we have threats coming upon us. We're going to pray for boldness. We're going to pray for boldness because the only thing that we have guaranteed in life is persecution and death. We all know that we speak the truth, we live for Christ, and we show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. People are looking, hey, man, you're weird. Nah, man, you know. So what do we have to do? Pray for boldness. Now, why do we need this boldness? So I'll give you a quick story how this came up. This happened at the restaurant. This elder lady, she's a Jehovah's Witness. She has been coming to the restaurant for many years. I'm always telling my brother, Hedu, and every time I walk in the kitchen, Hedda's like, what'd she say this time? Yeah. So I'm like, all right. And then she's always trying to, you know, say some words to me. And then it just hit me. I was like, wait, why does she keep asking me these things and telling me? I'm like, wait a minute. Have I been bold in my faith? Maybe she keeps saying, oh, if you go to JW.org, or if you go to this and then this, this and this. I was like, part because I haven't been bold enough that I'm like, hey, this is where I stand. The word says this, Jesus is God. God was manifested in the flesh. Jesus is God. And then, but I was like, okay, how can I pitch it? She's like, well, if you go to the website right here, ask any question. I'm like, so you could ask a question, Jesus God? Oh, she got like very quiet. I'm like, you know Jesus is God, right? And then, not to get into that, but that's how it started mainly. And I was like, you know what? Why haven't I done that a long time ago? Why haven't I? And then also hit me. Oh, it reminded me of the scripture of Matthew in Matthew 7, 15 through 16. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Souls are at stake every single day. Tomorrow is never guaranteed. And me personally, I'm like, man, I have to be more intentional with my word, with my prayer, with conversations or anything. And just know, man, Islam, that religion of Islam, it is what? How far away is Dearborn, Michigan from it? 2.5 hours, a little 2 hours away? Look at Chicago. How are we going to react if they'd ever start infiltrating over here into our county, St. Joseph County, Elkhart County, Cottage House County? That's all within 30 minutes away from here. We cannot be scared to speak the truth. Jesus is coming back. He is coming back. It's like, hey, well, the Torah says, no, you're wrong. This is the word. And we must be unapologetic about that. Amen. So we should not be afraid of the enemy, because the word tells us, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. We must continue to be rooted in scripture, in prayer, amen, walking in the spirit, and he will give us the words to speak. Thank you all very much.
It's been shown this week that they believe enough, again, to kill you. If you don't accept what they believe, then they don't mind killing you. And on the same day, within 30 hours, there were a number of people killed by Muslim, that we call them Muslim fanatics, but really they're Islamicists, they're followers of Islam. And they're believers in Islam, which teaches them that if you don't follow them, kill them. And they try to pretend that it doesn't say that, but it does say that. And they're bold enough to give their life. If they die, it's a bonus. 72 virgins. It's what they believe. It's not our belief system. I'm not putting that on them. That's what they believe. That's what they tell you. If you listen to their mosques, you listen to their preaching, that's what they say in their mosques. That's what they say when they teach and all kinds of other things. It's pretty horrific, actually. So I agree. We should be a little bolder than we are, maybe a lot bolder than we are. I don't mean to follow their method. Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7. Never says kill. Love your neighbor. Amen. Whoever your neighbor is. That's the philosophy, if you want to call it that, that we follow. Somebody help me and say amen. And God fights our battles. God makes a way. We have, do you want to tell it? Would you like to testify? Yeah. Just let me come back with a mic so you don't have to stretch or strain. She's in church on a Wednesday night, which is absolutely awesome. But she gave a little bit of a testimony, and I think I want you to say it,
okay.
Not me.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I'm just going to tell you about this last instance. There's been so many instances that another time, but it's long. But this last time I was knows he's always on time. He always knows what we need, and I'm so thankful and grateful for an almighty, great healing God. But then I went Sunday night, but my appointments were Monday, and I went to see my doctors, and so they had done some PET scans before that, and she had said all my numbers looked wonderful, everything looked great, that I had a lesion in my lung that was completely gone, thank you Jesus, completely gone, and the mass, I have a mass that they can't remove in my uterus that has shrunk again for the second time. And I'm so thankful for God, I'm so thankful for this church that prays, because I believe, I know that it's only by the prayers and our faith in God that has brought me this far. I just want to be in His will. I just want to make it. Whatever He has for me, I just love Him so much, and I'm so thankful. I appreciate everybody. So, thank you all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
What a day that will be. She comes in and say, there's no cancer nowhere. Amen. God has healed me completely. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Good report makes the bones fat. I hope you've gained weight tonight. Hallelujah. We've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. And tonight, and then we'll do the next time I teach. I'm not sure exactly what Wednesday night that will be. We'll do a two-part series. So tonight's the first part on the fruit of the Spirit. So we want to talk about what that looks like. The fruit of the Spirit is different than the gifts of the Spirit. Somebody in young people want to tell me how? How's the fruit different than the gifts? She said a gift is a present. What's fruit? I hear huh? I cannot hear that. A product of the tree. It flows from within the tree out into the fruit. So whatever the tree is, that's what the fruit will be. Too many people, too many Christians will define their behavior as separate from the Spirit. Well, you know, I was angry that day, so I cussed a little bit, or I was really upset, and so I acted poorly because I was upset, and you know, that's not the way God wants me to do it, but you know, that's how I am. That's just the way I am. That, you know, I've always been that way, or whatever. And so the idea that what's coming out of you, the Bible's very clear, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. So if you're saying things that you shouldn't be saying, it's because that is in your heart. So we're not talking about just saying, there's also doing. There's behavioral things, but it really, your tongue is your most unruly member. Anybody think that your tongue is unruly? Anybody embarrassed about what you've said at some point? I don't mean you've cussed or sworn or called people names, but you may have said something you thought, you know what, I really shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have been that mean or that sharp. And the Bible talks about, and Johnson made the point, You start with love. So you start to help somebody. And if you slash them with your words, you're not helping them. You're hurting them. And then it's a perpetual motion machine. Once you hurt somebody, they've been hurt. And now they feel like they can hurt somebody. And then they get hurt and they can hurt somebody. And it's a perpetual motion. Hurt just keeps getting passed around. And somebody needs to stop it, and we're the ones that ought to be stopping hurt being passed around. Hurt in our families, hurt in our community. And so I don't mean you don't need to speak truth, but we do need to walk in the Spirit. So it is a transformation on the inside. Nobody can see it. Everybody can hear it. Everybody can watch it. You can't open up someone's heart and look into their heart. You just can't do that. You don't know what's in my heart, and I don't know what's in your heart. You know, occasionally the Lord opens a little window and shows me a spirit or shows me an attitude, or you just show the attitude yourself. You just open up and show the attitude, and you see it for what it is. But often we don't see it in ourselves. That's the reason we need each other. Because if you're left to yourself out in the woods, you might not have a bad attitude. But as soon as that guy cuts you off, you might have a bad attitude. And you didn't realize it was there growing in you until something happens. And I've used this before. I'll use it again because I think it's a perfect example of the fruit of the Spirit. When you squeeze a lemon, what comes out? When you squeeze a grape, what comes out? When you squeeze an apple, what comes out? When you squeeze a fake Christian, get out of the way. Because what comes out is not godly. But if you're godly on the inside and you get squeezed, then you have a godly response. A godliness can flow out of you. I'm not sure if that's guilt. I'm hearing that nobody wants to, not too many people are like, woo! That's a revelation, Pastor. Woo! But it is very true. So you've got to have within you the Spirit of God and walk after the Spirit of God. But what does that look like? That's what we're going to talk about over the next two lessons. So fruit reveals natural, visible evidence of life within. If you have my grandmother in North Carolina had in her front yard a crab apple tree. And I don't know, every year as you're a little kid, you think, well, maybe this year it's changed. You know, it was a crabby apple tree last year, but maybe this year it's repented. And it's going to be a better apple tree. And so we'd always reach out and pick up a crab apple off the ground or off the tree whenever we were there and it was producing and bite into it. You know what? Every single time it was a crab apple. Every single time it was a crab apple. Why? Because it's a crab apple tree. It's not going to change its nature. And you without God are a crabapple tree. I mean, they're just something, it's not tasty. And don't ever think, well, I'm good enough that I'm a really good tree without God. Because we're crabapple trees. We're not Christ. Amen. We need Christ to be Christ. So fruit reveals the nature of the tree. Matthew, you have some scriptures as well. So pull up Matthew 7:16 through 18. Shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Just what we're saying. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Anything else? Is that all of it? Okay. So, just what I'm trying to emphasize, the scripture says very well. So, fruit is not produced by effort. I love this example. You've never driven through an orchard. Anybody go down to Kircher's Orchard, take your kids or grandkids down to Kircher Orchard? Anybody? Raise a hand, please. I know it hurts. on a Wednesday night to actually raise her hand. But how about my wife used to go to blueberry picking. It used to be a bunch of blueberry. Some of them have closed down, but I've gone with her. That's really cool. Get a string tied around your waist. Get a can hanging down on your waist, and you go through, and I mean, you just fill that can up as quickly as you can. And it's awesome. Anybody ever done blueberry picking? So, what kind of bush is producing blueberries? I don't want to be too elementary, but it's what the scripture says. I mean, often we want to be so spiritual and so, you know, highfalutin in our thinking, but it literally says, if you're a blueberry bush, you produce blueberries. It's just the natural occurrence. And so by your fruits, Matthew 7 and 20, you will know them. Next slide, fruits versus gifts. So what's the difference between fruits and gifts? Gifts of the Spirit are given sovereignly. They're manifested. The Spirit reveals and does something through you outwardly to help others. Can operate instantly, just instantly. You can be walking along, and I talked downstairs about Brother Mooney having a woman come into his office and went through the whole process. Just, you tell me what's wrong with me. You tell me, I'm not going to tell you. You tell me what's wrong. And he was going to get up and throw her out of his office. And he stood up, and his intent was to stand up and say, look, I'm not playing around. You know, you can just leave. But when he stood up, something just spoke to him. And he said, well, your problem is you're not a woman. You're a man. And she said, you're right. And she had been coming to church as a woman for several weeks, maybe a month or two, and had been acting like going to the women's restroom, talking to the women as a woman, trying to pass herself off as a woman. And she was there because she wanted to be free from that facade. She wanted not to be a woman, but she wanted to know, and she tested the preacher to see whether he was a man of God or not. And so when he stood up and called her out, I guess she looked close enough to a woman. It wasn't obvious. And then she started trying to step away from that lifestyle and live as a man. And that was an instantaneous. You can't grow fruit instantaneously. You can't. Nobody plants corn and harvests it that evening. It takes time. You can't do anything about it. You can get mad because it takes too long. I'm not as Christian as I want to be. Get mad about it, but it ain't going to change until you start doing some of the things necessary to grow and develop as a Christian plant, if I could say it that way. And so it is for the gifts of the Spirit are for ministry moments, but the fruit of the Spirit develop relationally, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and you've got to make room for Christ. Let me say that again. You've got to make room for Christ. Let me say that again. You've got to make room for Christ. You don't move into a house that you just purchased and move in and bring all your stuff in, and they left their furniture there, and you just rearrange their furniture and put your furniture in. Anybody ever move into an apartment that was already furnished and you just brought your stuff in anyway, stood their mattress up against the wall and you put your mattress in and moved their couch over, stood it on end and you put your couch in, and then you left all of that furniture in the room? That doesn't even make sense. But how many times do we try to hold on to our past, or to things in our lives that God's trying to get out of our lives? And man, you've seen The Hoarders, haven't you? Anybody watch one of the hoarder shows? Holy moly. We bought a building when we were in Decatur, and I'm not saying this was the wisest choice that we ever did, but we bought an old downtown hotel. It was right across from the courthouse. Big glass windows in the front, and it had been a flop house of sorts for a long time. And we went in, and the building was in such bad shape. The roof leaked. You couldn't go to the third floor because the roof leaked on the third floor. One room on the side we grabbed with hands and ripped off the building and threw away. The roof had collapsed, and so we were going to use that for a period of time, and we did. We had Bible studies in Sunday school classes in some of the hotel rooms. It was a hotel upstairs, so we actually did that. There were guys in there that had magazines from the 60s piled up in one room, and they weren't appropriate magazines in one room. They were inappropriate magazines, and so the church buys it, and then you go in this room full of all kinds of stuff. There was pickles and jars from the 70s. There was, I mean, just stuff from every generation there. And we literally had to get dumpsters and load out trash in the dumpsters because they had been, it wasn't even their building. They were just living there randomly and piling stuff in this building. And sometimes we treat our stuff like, I couldn't get rid of this, Pastor. This is so valuable to me. It's like the man that goes up, appears before Peter, the pearly gates, and said, you know, they say you can't take it with me, but I brought a whole thing of gold. I'm a wealthy man, and I brought gold, and I brought it to heaven. And I want you to ask the Lord if I can bring it in. And Peter says, well, let me call. So he hits the intercom, God intercom. Hey, can I get God on the phone? So he picks up the phone, God answers, and he talks to God for a minute, you know, off the side. And finally he says, God said, if you want to bring pavement in, I guess it's okay. Bring it in and lay it right there on the ground and we'll walk on it. Because the Bible says... And we think we've got such great perspective, and what we think is, oh, so valuable. I've got to have this. It's so valuable, and I can't let it go. I can't lay it down. I can't let go of it. And you see people doing that with drugs. You see people doing that with cigarettes or vapes or marijuana or, well, I've got to have this. I just got it. And I mean, it's crazy how much people just hold on and hold on. And that's so valuable to me. And God wants you to let it go because he doesn't want anything to bind you. You shouldn't be bound by the world and the things of the world. And so when you open up your hand and let it go, your life changes for the better. There's not one person in the room that isn't going to change for the better if they don't smoke or if they don't drink alcohol or if they don't sleep around or if they don't lie or they don't cheat or they don't name any sin that you want to name. And if you stop doing that, your life is going to be immeasurably better. You're going to be more at peace. You're going to be holier. You're going to be in the gifts of the Spirit. So it's developed relationally. It's transformational. It grows. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. You grow in Christ. I'm very thankful. I'm very thankful for the oaks in the building. You know what an oak is, don't you? Somebody that's planted in the ground for a very long time. You can hang swings on its branches. You can climb to the heights. You can see off into the distance when you climb high upon the foundation that that oak tree gives you. The branches are strong. It stands up under most winds. And it takes 200 years to get to that. And once a storm endured, I read, there's a great book, and the author was real popular for a while. And he said, as a boy, he grew up in the north of Indianapolis area, and he had a neighbor. And a neighbor went out and planted a little spindly tree alongside his driveway. Between the two houses, he planted a tree. And he'd said every day he would go out. Now this, you young people won't remember this. Let me put it in young people terms. He would take his iPad out. They used to call it the newspaper. And you had to walk to the sidewalk to get it. It was a thing in paper. It had pictures and stories and articles and the comics. It was awesome. And so you can buy it still at the grocery store. It's in a rack next to the door as you go out. It's called the newspaper. There's a South Bend paper. There's a Goshen paper. There's an Elkhart paper. Everybody's got a paper. I know you didn't know that, but it's really very cool. And so you'd go out to your mailbox, and sometimes they had a box for your newspaper, and you'd go out and get your newspaper. And he did this every morning. I delivered paper for a while when I was in Bible school. Interesting experience. I got chased down by a guy because I didn't deliver his paper correctly. I threw his paper and the rubber band broke. Well, I actually threw it into the front yard, and he wanted it on his porch, so I picked it up and threw it up to his porch, and the rubber band broke, and it went. And he came out. I'm telling you what, I learned a few names for myself. He delivered a few names at 5:30 in the morning. On Sunday morning, he was out cussing me out on that day. It was an amazing experience. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You learn all kinds of stuff, even in your bad experiences. You get the paper, he would walk down the driveway, and then he would hit the tree. And he would hit it on each side. And then he would walk into the house. And the little boy would be standing there waiting for the bus to come, and he'd watch the old man go by and hit the tree. And then just go in the house, not say anything, just hit the tree. And then the next day he'd come out with his paper and go by and hit the tree. And then he'd come back out, hit the tree. And so finally he'd seen it enough times, and the tree had grown a little bit, and he asked the man when he got a little older, he said, "Sir, do you remember when you first planted that tree, you'd walk by and hit that tree?" And he said, "Yes, I do." He said, "I've never understood why you would hit the tree. That didn't make any sense to me. You just planted it. You wanted it to grow, but you would hit the tree every single day. Every time you walked by it, you'd kind of hit the tree." He said, "Well, son, it's a lesson I learned a long time ago. Adversity causes the tree to grow stronger." They proved that in that little space place they built out in Arizona, and they planted trees and plants and all kinds of stuff, and they thought, "We're going to test this. We're going to go to Mars, and we want to plant trees inside a controlled environment because they produce oxygen. They take nitrogen, produce oxygen, and so we're going to have trees when we get to Mars, and so we got to test it out." So they put them in this covered biosphere, and they let them grow. You know what happened to the trees? They couldn't stand up. They weren't being tested by the winds, and they weren't growing. Their fibers respond to that wind whipping them back and forth and adding fibers so it stays strong and would stand up. And they learned the trees need the wind. You think, "Oh my goodness. We don't want to abuse your tree." I can't imagine going out whipping my tree. But he said it made the tree. So how about all those problems that you've got? Maybe you've got them for a purpose. Maybe God's going to do something great with your problems. Maybe God's making you stronger. Somebody told me, don't go off on tangents. But I love tangents. They're so beneficial. And if you don't think so, somebody give me a newspaper. I want to whack somebody. See if that helps. 1 Corinthians 13, 1 and 2. When I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not I become a sounding brass, just empty sound. I'm just an empty sound, sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. I'm noise, but I'm not focused noise. I'm not beneficial noise. Cymbals sound great. We have our drummer wanted at one point a long time ago little cymbals, little chimes hanging down, little like that, little brass deals, and you take your drumsticks and they go twing, twing, twing. It's, I suppose, awesome at the right moment, the right time, but it's not the right time or the right moment, and they're upstairs on the third floor in the storage room, not dinging at all. They're in the drum cage now. They've been moved into the drum cage. They've been up there forever. Christmas. Okay. Christmas. My wife's singing, so here we're going to ding-a-ling it, right? That wasn't a negative statement to her, but I mean, it's just that it fits her voice, that beautiful, lovely ding-a-ling sound. And I'm sleeping on the couch tonight. The value is in a focused sound. Not in just sound, but in a focused sound. So the fruit of the Spirit is not fruits. It is fruit. So it's all fruit and it's all together. You can't have love and not have joy. You can't have peace and be angry. Again, let's go back to the well. You can't draw out of the well bitter and sweet. Because just as soon as you've got bitter in the well, this side of the well is going to be bitter. And guess what? It won't take... You ever poured cream in your coffee? How long does it take for the cream to mix in your coffee? And it all has cream in it. That's the principle, that you can't just pour coffee in the left side of the cup and it not affect the right side of the cup. And you can't let anger or bitterness or frustration or doubt or fear or unbelief or uncertainty to live in the left. Oh, it's just a little bit. I'm just going to keep it over here in the corner of the cup. You can't do it. You put a little sugar in, the whole thing's going to be a sweeter. You put lemons in your coffee. I don't know what that does to it, but I don't think it's going to do anything good. It's going to permeate every bit of it. And every cup is according to how you made that cup. So if you change your standard, you change your style, you change what you put in it, it's going to change what you get out of it. And so what we're talking about is walking in Christ and letting the Spirit of Christ do its work in us. So Paul talks about fruit and not fruits, and there are nine virtues of the one Spirit. So let me emphasize that piece of it. So it's the Holy Spirit that brings peace, love, joy, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, temperance. It's the Holy Spirit that brings all of these fruits. And when the Holy Spirit goes in you, it starts building the fruits of the Spirit in you. And it doesn't lean one way and not the other. Doesn't lean toward love and not towards peace. Doesn't lean towards joy and not towards love. suffering. Do you know what long suffering is? It takes a long time to get through the suffering. Anybody in the room love long suffering? My wife must. She's been married to me for 40 some years. She likes long suffering. Anybody in the room enjoy long suffering? Please, now's your time. Anybody resent long suffering? I might not ask for hands to be raised on that one. Don't you wish you just went to college one day and graduated the next? I mean, you just graduated. Hey, there we go. I got my diploma. I had a friend of mine who hung a PhD on his wall. And he wanted to be called doctor. And so he demanded his church. He was a pastor. Call him doctor. So finally, he was a friend of mine. I worked with him for years. I asked him, where'd you get that degree? I went up and looked at it, and it was from some Caribbean island that he'd paid $400 to get a PhD. Did no schooling, no education, no effort. He just paid $400 and got a sheet of paper. So he made everybody call him doctor. Now, that's false advertisement. Even if it is a preacher, that's false advertisement. And it came out eventually that it was false advertisement. There's no shortcut. There's no shortcut to growing an oak. There's a shortcut to growing a bamboo. It grows 2 to 3 feet a day. In the right environment, the right weather, the right water, the right ground, it can grow very quickly. Kudzu, you're not from the South. If you were from the South, you'd go, because they brought kudzu in from Europe because they needed a little better ground cover, and they planted kudzu. And if you drive through Georgia, you ever wondered what that green stuff, green viney stuff hanging off the trees down 75 and 85 on all the pine trees, all the way down through Atlanta, all the way down to Florida? That's kudzu. You cut it all you want. Grows back within days. They come through, kudzu would grow over we had a little creek by our house, and it would grow over the bridge, over the creek, and they'd come along and whack it all back, and they'd work and work and work, and a month or two later, it would be all back over, hanging on top of the bridge, growing over the bridge. I mean, we built forts in kudzu, and you had to find the entrance after you finished building the fort, because a few days later, when you came back, it had all grown up, and you couldn't hardly find the fort inside the kudzu. I mean, it's a vine, and it's a crazy growing vine. Once you get it in Georgia, it's just gone crazy, and they can't kill it. Nothing kills kudzu. Not well enough to actually kill it. You can kill it for a little bit, and it just grows back. That's not an oak. That's a nuisance. And if you're growing and you think, well, I wish I grew faster, and man, I wish I was a kudzu Christian. We cut kudzu up and burn it. All the time. Nobody valued it. Everybody values an oak tree. You build furniture out of it. You build doors. All kinds of stuff that you build out of it that lasts sometimes forever. It's amazing. And it takes that time and effort to become what God wants you to become. And you can't shortcut it. Do I need to hang there a minute? You can't shortcut it. You got to go through the wind. You got to go through the fire. You've got to go through the drought. You got to realize God takes you through the drought. You got to realize God takes you through the storm. You got to realize God takes you through the flood. We were actively engaged in Kerrville, Texas, and it's amazing. So many trees were knocked down and washed away. Tons of them, tons of trees that were rotten on the inside. They didn't know it. Fell and were felled by the wind and the waves and the river flowing. But do you know what saved most of the people that got caught up in the flood? Trees. They'd hear people calling in the riverside, and they'd be hollering, "Where are you? I'm over here. I'm over here." As the water started to go down, and people would be standing, the water's still rushing by. They can't just go out there and get them because the water is racing by. And there'd be somebody 18 feet up in a tree, a child, an old person, and they'd be sitting on a branch of an old oak that was holding and standing against that massive, massive flood. And the 18 feet was where the flood water was. And now it had receded 18 feet down. And they're just left hanging in the tree with mud all over the tree and stuff hanging, grass and whatever. And they're sitting in a branch waiting for somebody to come by and hear them. Now, what I'm telling you is our world is in an absolute storm and an absolute mess, and we don't know what's going to happen. Armageddon may be headed our direction. All this Muslim taking over Europe. The Bible talks about Gog and Magog. You're talking about Russia and Europe and the northern countries. And maybe they're getting ready to come down and use their Muslim armies to attack Israel. I'm not prophesying that, but it certainly looks like several of the countries, by 2050, several countries in Europe will be Muslim. The majority Muslim. When Muslims take over, they dominate. They already dominate. If you pay attention, if you watch anything at all, if you're in London, England, they dominate certain areas. You can't sell pork in some neighborhoods. You can't, ladies, you can't walk down a neighborhood without a burqa on. They're enforcing Sharia law in neighborhoods all over England. They're doing that in Sweden. They're doing that in a number of countries. Finland is facing that. Finland's pushing back. I heard, I think it was Sweden, has just passed a new law that says if you're on the dole, if you come in as an immigrant, you're on the dole for 3 years, you spend 3 years getting all your money from the government, before you can apply for citizenship, you have to pay back all the money that the government gave you. I sent that to Trump. I don't know that he'll get it, but I sent it to his Twitter account. I said, "Hey, this sounds like a good idea. Why don't we implement something like this? I know it's complicated and hard, but the idea that we're bringing in people that hate us, I'm not talking about everybody, but I am talking about the people that hate us, the people that want to destroy us, and the people that are taking up arms all over the world against us. When you've got a shooters on the beach in Bondi, and you've got a shooter in the East Coast, he's shooting in a college and killed two people. One of them was the vice president of the Republican Party for that school. I believe that's probably an intentional shooting. And you've got this other shooting. You've got several others that happened in the same 24 to 30 hours. Somebody ought to say that's a problem. Somebody in our government, somebody in our media ought to say that's a problem. And they're not very well. And who are we going to be when push comes to shove? Are we going to be kudzu? Are we going to fight because we're uncomfortable? We're going to give up on God because we're uncomfortable? And you see, pay attention. You see what's going on in Africa? They're enslaving women, taking them from their home, forcing them into Sharia law where they can rape them or kill them. They're doing it in India. They're burning churches like crazy. And it's the Muslims and the Sikhs and some of those other religions are anti-Christian in India, and there are places in India where we can't go and preach. Pakistan is a difficult place to go preach, because if they find out that you're there preaching, they may riot against you. And there are people that are being beaten because of their Christianity. He talked about being bold. Well, it's easy. It really is pretty easy to be bold in America. Nobody's going to beat you. Nobody's going to make you suffer. Nobody's going to, at least not yet, come burn our church down. Not yet. But there, in the principle, they're not optional. It's not optional to be at peace. It's not optional to have love. It's not optional to be long-suffering. You know what? I'm just not going to have any long-suffering this year. I want to skip long-suffering this year, and I want extra potatoes. You know, give me the stuff that I like to eat. I don't want that asparagus. I want green beans. It's green, so it's close enough. And I don't want this, and we're Americans. We like to pick and choose. It's only 8 o'clock. Where'd you all go? We like to pick and choose. Don't we? Don't we love a smorgasbord? Don't you love going to a Chinese restaurant and go get all you can eat at a Chinese buffet? Holy moly, that's heaven. I mean, it really is. There's some great places to go eat. And we think we can do that with God. I really don't want to be at peace. Don't really want to have joy. I love you, but not you. Let me pick who I'm going to love. Well, love your neighbor. They live a little far away to be my neighbor. I'm not going to love them. And yet, it's the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. We're having Jenny's funeral on Monday night. And man, if you could just put a picture of faithfulness, there's so many people that would be pictured that way. In my mind, we'd have a whole page in the dictionary, just in our church, a whole page in the dictionary with people's pictures on it. But Jenny was pretty faithful. Taught Sunday school for a long time. Goodness, self-control. When you're young, you lack self-control. Somebody in the room say amen. Who lacked self-control? But you know, it really is a value to control yourself, to keep your mouth closed, to not let yourself get out of control. They taught growing up, again from Georgia, we walk right, we talk right, and we spit white. The idea that you control everything that goes in and everything that comes out. Jesus said, you know what comes in is not really what bothers you. That's really not your problem, is whether you eat pork or don't eat pork. That's really not the depth of the problem. The problem is always what comes out. And it's what comes out that defiles us. It's what we don't really realize is there. We don't really realize until something squeezes us. And something ugly comes out that you didn't really realize was there. And yet, that happens until you decide that's not godly, and I'm not going to be that. And I'm going to find what's wrong in here that causes me to act like that, to talk like that, and God created me a clean heart and a right spirit. God do the work inside of me so that when I get squeezed, goodness and mercy and grace and kindness comes out. And that is not something you get done with, because the enemy has his way of cutting at you, grinding on you. Disease ruins trees. A friend of mine preached a great sermon years ago about the wounded tree. And he talked about a tree that everybody thought was healthy, and somewhere along the line it had gotten wounded on the side, and an infection went in that tree, and it ended up rotting on the inside. The outside looked great, but the inside was rotted. And then when the next big storm came through, it blew the tree over, and then all of a sudden everybody saw the tree was rotted on the inside. The story is not about a tree. The story is about you and I. And we cannot allow a rotten spirit, a rotten attitude, a rotten thought process. We've got to realize, amen, it's going to come out. It's going to show itself someday. God help us to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Somebody help me and say amen. Amen. God bless.